Welcome to our talk about MIT-KDC integration Zemba domain controller. We are here to give you an update. We did a presentation last year, and this is now an update what we achieved since last summer XP in this area. So who we are, we both are Zemba team members. We both work for Red Hat on Zemba. In different teams in the meantime. We both love rock climbing and we love Franconian beer, which is an important part of rock climbing. So, Günther will start and will give you some ideas from our last talk, how we designed the MIT KDC or KDB driver for Zemba.
Right, yeah. So the ideas, can you hear me? Does it work now? Okay. The idea is really to just start with the a reminder of how we designed the implementation of the MIT KDC backend and that stuff, and have some very quick graphical overview about the SDB layer, which is a new abstraction layer that we invented in order to make both things work, so that we can ship the Heimdall implementation, which exists right now, and also have an abstraction in place that we can use for our KDB driver. So we just named it SDB. I can't actually remember why we took SDB. Was because of Zemba database or something. So HDB is really the old traditional backend of Heimdall, which is still visible in many areas in the Zemba 4 domain controller. KDB is the equivalent driver interface for the MIT code base and used at the MIT KDC. It's also a nice API with a library and so. And is it young?
Okay. Is it better now? Ah, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay. What a difference. Right. So SDB is really meant to be an abstraction overview of the two things and really the interface we want to use inside of Zemba, in order to abstract from our own internal database, which is then again LDB, so another three-letter word. Okay, we have this SDB layer put in place and layered it out pretty much very closely to the HDB design, because we wanted to really make the initial migration a very easy thing. So it resembles in a lot of places. And this is actually how this is how we actually ended up implementing it and also started initially to design it. So on the very bottom of this graphic, you have the contents of our accounts that we store in the LDB database that you can access directly with the LDB utilities, which is used in the RPC servers and so forth. And on top of that, we have added a very shim layer, which is the SDB entry. Which is a very, very close interface to the HDB, the original MIT Heimdall database representation of user accounts and of machine accounts and so forth. And on top of this SDB entry, we continue, of course, to make this very shim conversion to the HDB interface again, so that we can have the original design of the Zemba 4 KDC domain controller in place with really a very little amount of conversion. And we now have also a very easy way to convert from SDB to the MIT-specific database model, which is the KDB interface and the KDB driver that we have been working on. And then, of course, the MIT KDC, which you could run as an external process. Right now, we actually have it as a fork process of the Zemba binary. That consumes that KDB plugin as if it would be any other kind of KDB plugin. So all the functionality you would expect from the MIKDC to work will just work with that backend as well. Yeah, so we did a lot of work on this, mostly before the last year's Zemba XP. So we really had some very productive weeks before that. And then we spent pretty much the rest of the year with the hairy details. So I've just been told this morning at the breakfast that you typically spend 80% No, you spend 20% of your time with implementing 80% of the feature, and the remaining 20%, the remaining 80% of your time with the remaining 20% of details. And that's probably also true for our project. Nonetheless, we had this code base in place. We demoed it actually last year, something we won't do this year because there's really not so much to demo, to show, to make it really visible. It will just work, and that's just a boring thing to see. But what we did is we went to the Microsoft Interoperability Lab following up the SDC conference last year in the US. And that was a very good occasion to actually run the Microsoft Interoperability test suites against our implementation, something which has been done before, apparently by you, Simo, if I remember correctly, against FreeIPA. At least they had some graphs with some testing results from the MIT KDC infrastructure used by IPA. So we took what we have, the current work in progress branch, and run the test suites against our implementation, and we found quite some issues. So first of all, not all scenarios that are available in that test suite are available either in the MIT KDC or in the implementation of Samba 4. Like, for example, there's this KDC proxy mode and some new features that they really have, of course, available in the test suite as well. That's something we just haven't implemented yet or looked at all. So we needed to exclude quite some tests or quite some scenarios from the test suite. So, but what we found in the testing were some really important issues. One is that we really failed to do to properly negotiate encryption types, resulting that all the tests were actually using the RC4 HMAC-MD5 encryption type, and not really the more modern or commonly used AES encryption types, which we want to see used everywhere. So there is apparently also a mechanism to really negotiate these, but what we ended up doing is to just resort the order to put the better encryption types on top of the list of provided encryption types, which make the client just pick up the AES key types and use that. Yeah, then of course, once we then used AES, all kind of other issues turned out, in particular sorting issues. I remember I've been working with Andrew Bartlett. There was one thing. In the meantime, many other sorting issues showed up as well that Andreas has been working on. But once you really start really using AES keys, of course, you need to repeat all the tests, which we did then, and saw more issues. One of the things was also the support of the KPassWD protocol, which is the interface to allow password changes over the Kerberos level. And this is implemented in a daemon in Heimdall, but in a completely differently named daemon in MIT. We will talk about this later a bit more. So we were also fleshing out some missing pieces there. Yeah, the protocol test suite, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the first day of the conference. I think they talked about this, you attended this, so I don't know if they have mentioned the Kerberos protocol test suite as well. At least it's really a public available code. I think it was just released when I was at STC last year. So you can go to the website and look for it, and it's not so difficult also to run the tests or to play a little bit with that.
Yeah, and they improved the execution of the tests. Now you don't.
Okay.
There is no requirement for Visual Studio anymore.
All right. Okay. Good. This I didn't know. Yeah, at the time you really need to import everything and then compile it and then run it. It was a bit rocket science, but still really doable. And there were also some good documentation. Right. So testing. All the stuff, of course, was a very crucial component of the ongoing development for last year. But we also had some missing pieces that we really need to fill in order to succeed with the testing. And yeah, one of these was, of course, some parts in the abstraction of our wrapper utilities, the CWRAP project that Andreas will talk about.
Yeah, so the CWRAP project is a project with special libraries that we are able to test all of Samba in an easy way on one machine without any additional privileges. So you can set up a complete network on your machine without having to install virtual machines or stuff like that. And we already had this in place with MIT Kerberos and it was working just fine, but then, well, we discovered that libcap 5 wasn't able to find the DC. So the MIT Kerberos normally looks up the KDC via DNS discovery. It looks for a SRV record in the name server, and it didn't find them. In Samba, we had some special code which faked DNS replies. But this was only available in the Samba code. But as MIT Kerberos is outside of the Samba code, it wasn't able to use this. So we needed to invent a new wrapper as part of the CRAP project to be able to answer direct all our DNS requests to our internal DNS server we have implemented in Samba, or fake it. So the thing is, we created a new wrapper which is called Resolve Wrapper, because the Samba libraries are using libresolve, and from there REST query and REST search to look up SRV records, for example. First, we implemented it in a way that we are able to create our own resolve.conf file and redirect every query to our internal DNS server. The problem was our internal DNS server is missing some features, so the response to SOA records is incorrect, so NS update is not working, and all the DNS entries we needed could not be created. So Jakob and I started to think, okay, how do we implement DNS faking? And then he started to completely implement faking DNS queries with the same format which we had before in Samba. And now it is really possible to create a really simple text file and then have the libresolve library send correct queries, and libcap 5 is now able to discover the KDC in the environment without even having a DNS server running. You can find more details on crap.org how it works. And yeah, so this took some time to develop. We started after Samba XP, and
it took a long time, I remember.
Yeah, and to get all the details correct, it took us some time. Also, Resolve Wrapper is now preloaded and self-test currently. It only supports DNS faking mode. We would like to switch that, but someone needs to find time to fix a DNS server. And after that, we were a lot of tests finished.
There's a question?
He asked if we thought about building a locator plugin for MIT Kerberos. No, we wanted to that this not only works just with MIT Kerberos, but also in general that our DNS infrastructure is tested at one point. And it's bad if you have a special code pass for DNS in Samba and have a different one for testing and one for development, one for running in a real environment, so you don't test the code pass, which you should test, and that's bad.
Right. So the next thing I was mentioning that we found out that we need to start is the kadmin daemon, which is the daemon where the implementation of the Microsoft Windows Kerberos change password protocol is actually living in the MIT world. So luckily we didn't really need to do a lot of work there, because the MIT community has of course thought about this protocol and they have an implementation of that. So that was a quite easy task. We actually only really needed to start the the kademin daemon from our self-test work and use the proper configuration and use the right backend. So that was relatively easy. What we still were that we need to look into is the fact that the password change protocol has two modes. Either a user is changing its own password, then everything is really working just fine because there is no a real difficulties involved. But there's also one mode where an administrator is able to set a password for another principal. And that, of course, involves some fine-grained granular evaluation of privileges or access control lists. And in the kademin case, this is typically used using an ACL file where you would just list principal names that are granted this specific privilege to do this operation. And this is, of course, something we can't really deal with because in our world, a principal pretty much means nothing. It can change immediately. Or what we really would need to have is at least SIDS or even better, a way to completely bypass all this security check evaluation and do access control list checks inside of our own security database, so to say. So we need to find a way to solve this puzzle. What we did for testing was really just to very quickly put the principles that we were using in the ACL files that would just pass on. I know there's also a way, probably in the KDB interface, to do that. No? All right. But Simo has a note for this, maybe.
We have the same problem with the
Okay.
Right, so Simo said that they are working closely with MIT Kerberos to get an interface that we are able to not write the ACL file, but have maybe a plug-in which implements it correctly going down the, for example, here looking it up in the Samba database.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, the world is also not perfect in the Heimdall world. Because there, if you look closer at the implementation, what actually is done is that the pack is actually kind of inspected during this operation and then evaluated for the access control checks. So that's also probably not using a properly designed interface for this purpose. It's done like that. Yeah. It's working, but it's not using like an API interface from the kPassword infrastructure.
Oh no, we re-implement kPassword.
Yeah, I know. But the proper way would actually really be to have a backend specific callback to do this kind of operation. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so the kademin daemon is also not only used for this password change operations, but it's also used for many other purposes in the MIT world. Andreas just got in touch with it when it comes to exporting key tabs. That's also a problem that we have found out during our testing. So,
yeah, we have a feature in Zamba tool to export key tabs, but this involves loading the KDB driver and then having access to the database, and this didn't really work. At least it's not planned on the client side that you are able to do that. And for this, MIT has kademin.local, which you can run as an administrator, and then you have a command line more or less in there, and then you can modify principles in there or export the keytabs.
Right. Then there was one piece that we kind of spared out in our initial implementation that we needed to look at, and we found a quite good solution for that, I guess, is that actually there is another link between the RPC server and the KDC, which is a specific type of some logon validation of Kerberos packs.
Yeah, so netlogon has a mode to validate a pack. And with Heimdall, Samba implements that as an IRPC service, so an internal IPC service. It's a IPC communication.
There's no good reason why we did it that way. A library call would work just as well.
Yeah. So what we did, we implemented it the same way to have it also. And what it more or less does is just checks the signature of the puck. So we implemented it using MIT routines, which was pretty easy. Yeah, and when we start MIT KDC, we also set up the IRPC service.
With the important distinction, I think, that the IRPC listener is not living inside of the MIT KDC, but in the service that actually starts the MIT KDC, which is sitting on top of the MIT KDC. That, of course, would be a limitation then for the case where you would have a completely independent MIT KDC binary started before Samba. So for this mode, we should probably think about a bit more about that. So we not only had quite some ongoing development, but of course we also tried hard to push as many patches as possible to upstream. And yeah, we succeeded a bit in that. So first of all, during our testing, we really found a lot of bug fixes. So that was quite easy to convince people that there's something going wrong, and we were able to push all these. Then, of course, a big pile of patches that have been pushed upstream are the C-Wrap components, all the resolve wrapper Andreas has worked on. This has been really quite a larger thing. Yeah, then we pushed all the pieces that actually made specific decisions whether to build a specific component of Samba or not, depending on whether the entire DC is built or not. So we cleaned up lots of these smaller distinctions. Then we ended up pushing the majority of all the cleanup calls that move away from direct use or direct access of HDB internal functions and replace them with Kerberos API types, because most of the time there was just a one-to-one match. So that is a very good preparational work for the move to SDB, which also uses then the Kerberos library provided types. So that went quite well.
You say you're switching away from HDB calls to SDB or to KRB5?
To KRB5, because KRB5 would use types that also are used in SDB.
Yeah, so
for example, if there was a place where a principle was copied, it was using a private generated function from Heimdall. But in fact, that would be just the equivalent to KRB5 copy principle or something like that, which is an API-provided function. And we want to use KRB5 principle as a type in our database. So it's just there were many places where we just could replace the private functions with public functions.
We have a library which is called libkerb5wrap, and in there we created abstract functions which call. So if there are differences in the API calls, for example, to access principles, then we created a wrapper, which is always and only prefixed with smbkerb5. Mm-hmm. So that we have an abstract way to use that and do not use Heimdall or MIT specific code.
Yeah, and also a whole bunch of client specific code is currently only compiled with the Heimdall build, and we need to make it able to also then run, of course, with the MIT build. So not talking about server details, but just client details for many testing things and so forth. And yeah, we need to push out this abstraction everywhere, which we pretty much succeeded doing now.
Okay, the question is, what is what work is still remaining? What we need to do? So the SDB code is okay, but we would like to have a nicer abstraction. So we need to rewrite that once we are at the point that everything is working, and clean it up more. This code should, which we have should go upstream hopefully soon. This is under review. Then we wrote the KDB summer module, which needs to be reviewed. I added the last bits yesterday to it, which was a bad password count to increase or reset. Under review is also the automatic KDC detection and starting the KDC or KDC and kadmin D. And
we still have some ugly code in self-test for it, so we need to clean that up.
Yeah. Of course, really testing all this was a very, very important piece of the whole process, so we really want to make sure that we are able, whatever, even maybe then in the end on an auto-built machine to set up everything that we need to properly test all our test suites against the MIT KDC infrastructure. And this needs also some cleanup still and then can be reviewed then. Okay, then in the end, of course, the goal is to have the ability to completely remove Heimdall if a consumer or a vendor or whoever wants to do that. So with our testing, we were actually able to completely remove the Heimdall directory, and so we got rid of all the references and all the uses of this code base. In the end, we of course probably not are going to want to push it outside of the Samba code base completely, but probably be able at least to move it more in a third-party repository to really make it clear that this is just a that we ship it as a commodity to make it easier to build, but that we have really the ability to completely go without Heimdall and just use a custom Kerberos library, a custom KDC that is just chip on a distribution. Of course, also we really need to take this very serious because if I'm not mistaken, I checked it yesterday, I think the last update of the Heimdall codebase that we have in our tree is from July 2011. And if you typically monitor Kerberos libraries in the world and see how many security updates they get in the meantime, there's actually a good reason to get more and more nervous about this really old state of the Heimdall import that we have in our tree. Yeah, so there are some things that we really need to look at still. Some are related to the fact that we just didn't need to look at it right now, and some are related that we have problems also a bit with the Heimdall community that we also want to briefly talk about a little bit. So the one thing I already mentioned is the password set protocol with the SCL support. Then there's one case where we in one patch want to use the GSS wrap IOV support in order to deal with a specific implementation detail, and there is also an implementation in Heimdall for this, but it's incomplete and really causing lots of problems.
It doesn't support RC4.
It doesn't support RC4.
And there is also, if a packet comes in, you want that the Kerberos library is parsing the packet and splitting it into header data and trailer, and this is not implemented in the GSS wrap IOV case.
Yeah, then we also have some client users or client implementation of SVU2.7 and SVU2.proxy. I think for the server side, we pretty much should be in good shape. But for the client, we haven't yet really looked at abstracting the code that we have in there to make it work with MIT Kerberos. So that's something we need to look at, of course. Then we have, during our testing in self-test, we have many users of kinit and kpassword. So for the Kerberos client binaries, which are used for all kind of testing, and then they, whatever, tested with all type, with all combinations of parameters that these client utilities provide. And this is just not going to work because there's just not a one-to-one match between the Heimdall client binaries and the MIT client binaries. So we either need to duplicate the tests or...
Yeah, we change the... We have tests for kpassword, so we change the code that it deals with both binaries. But for example, we have a special kinit case, but it tests so many parameters of the binary which are not available with MIT Kerberos. So I just skip it or say success in the MIT case.
Yeah, and then there has been a tremendous amount of work being put in really specific Kerberos protocol tests that Andrew has done over the year, which are completely, of course, only buildable with Heimdall because they really access some internal functions which are not really exposed and which, of course, don't have an equivalent in the MIT world. So maybe it's possible to make them compile with both things, but most probably not. So we need to look at that, just ignoring all that nice work, which is really testing important pieces of the protocol, is probably not the way to go, but yeah, we need to find a way to benefit from this.
At least we need to build it in the Heimdall build and then run it manually against.
Yeah, something like that, even, yeah.
Yeah, and what's missing in the end is then that Samba tool is able to set up MIT KDC, creating the configuration files with the correct parameters.
Yeah, so this is something we right now only do in the make test case where we set up the KDC, so we prepare a KDC.conf and all these pieces, but we need to have this, of course, as part of our usual provisioning. Yeah, so the repository is really changing locations often. Sometimes it lives in my tree. Currently it lives in Andreas' tree because Andreas really lately did the majority of the work on all this. So you have the URL there. You can just look at the code. There's some, it's a work in progress branch, of course, but it's still in shape where you can really test it for testing purposes, for sure. You should not run it in production probably, but if you are really brave enough, and then you can get it from that repository. All you need is really just a stock MIT Kerberos implementation from the distribution. So we just use what we have on our laptops, which is, I think, 1.12 MIT, something
13.
Like that. Yeah. So it's really no specific additional packages required for this. You just need to compile Samba with the system MIT Kerb 5 compile flag. And yeah, then we have a fix me here. Actually, I wanted to fill this in. You need to create a kdc.conf and a kerb5.conf, unless you really call make test and really want to.
The most important part in kdcput.conf is that you specify the location of the KDB driver.
Yep. Yeah, then talking a little bit finally about Heimdall. So we really are confused a little bit about the future of Heimdall and what is going on there. So sometimes we really question ourselves if it has not yet gone to Valhalla, because the core maintainer, Love, who's also a Samba team member, a nice guy, he has been hired by Apple, and I haven't really got in touch with him since then. So he's really hard to get to. And apparently, they put a lot of effort and a lot of development inside of Apple into the Heimdall codebase. If you see it on every Mac OS X laptop, you will have a KDC running. I don't know for what purpose they do that, but they do a lot of user. They have a lot of use of Kerberos and of Heimdall in Apple. But unfortunately, they don't really share that work or the interesting findings that they probably have and do. So what is visible from the outside is really a project that is almost inactive and is not really working hard on a roadmap or on releasing new updates. There are some repositories outside from the main update, from the main repository. One is on GitHub that is, I think, maintained by Greg Hudson, or at least he's...
I understand that it's the official repo.
It is now the official repo? Okay, right. Yeah, yeah, and we talked about this one example where we really would like to also have maybe at least a good statement about future plans about some specific features, like for example the RC4 support for GSS Rep IOV. But it's really hard to really get something out of that, and it's something completely different with the MIT community. Of course, Red Hat has a very good relationship with that, so we can. Really get a lot of changes there and really work with them in a good fashion. But at the MIT, Kerberos codebase is really just a living codebase, and there's ongoing development. Unlike with Heimdall, it's really always a bit unclear where this is going. Yeah,
that's
unfortunately.
Such amazing change. It's been really
generous. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but in the meantime, a lot of companies are investing into MIT Kerberos, so they have paid developers which work full-time on it. And they are really responsive, like Greg Hudson. You can normally reach him on a daily basis. Yeah, well, then we are at the end.
Yep, so no demo and really just a status update, but yeah, we're happy to have your questions.
So yeah, I just thought I'd say, there's part of me that's really frustrated the effort involved in changing horses midstream, but as we're doing that, I do see no point trying to ride two horses at the same time. I think that, so it's clear that this is where we're going. I think the only real discussion is, and it's clear that Red Hat's now putting the effort in to actually get there. There were times in the past where it was dribbling along a bit and we weren't really getting very far, but, you know, really impressed with the effort that I've seen coming. And if there's long-term commitment to maintaining it, and I'm starting to see, you know, it looks like there's things that hitch to this that will mean that people will be still interested in it. My only concern would be if this was done and then dropped, because we've got so much other code in Samba. But if there's that commitment to maintaining it, then I've spent a bit of this week just to be able to make sure to evaluate the alternative. I've been updating to current Heimdall Git and just working out what patches are there, and I'm currently looking at it was kind of amusing. I told Andreas to run the lockout test because I thought this will give a bit of a challenge, and he quickly knocked up the lockout hooks and it all just worked. And I got to running it with my Heimdall update and it was, oh bugger, it's counting twice. What's going on here? So I'm well aware of the feeling of many that we just need to make a decisive switch across to this. And I'm thinking about that, but I'm thinking about it very seriously. I'm not. I've always had a position that I wasn't going to get in the way of your efforts. I'll let you do that, but I can see that I'm going to need to be more proactive than that. And we need to decide what we're doing and do it. The days of Samba being a choose your own adventure of five different options and give it to the admins is just, I realise how folly that is.
Absolutely. Right.
So I'd rather pick one solution and do it right.
Yeah.
I have concerns about if we need a new feature from the KDC, the time frame to get those, as opposed to, hey, we just patch our one and try and send a patch upstream. But, you know, I also know what it's cost us.
I think it's also really a big achievement. When all this work has started years ago, there was really nothing. So with Heimdall, we were starting on the green, pretty much. And in the meantime, so many interfaces have been set up, and there has been so much compatibility work being done in the MIT code base. So, of course, there's also a strong commitment on their side to make it work for our purposes. And if we are stuck with really standard interfaces like the KDB plugin interface and stuff like that, there's, of course, a much higher chance that the maintenance cost of all this will be relatively low.
Yeah, for example, some days ago, LDAP S connection with GSS SPNego isn't working because a feature is missing in MIT Kerberos. So I created a patch for MIT Kerberos and sent it in, and they said, yeah, we will accept it. So it's just if you discuss it with them, normally you get the change pretty quickly and they help you getting it in.
So the only question we've tried to move from Heimdall to MIT Kerberos, I guess, will be about version, the version we depend on. We'll probably end up depending on 1.13, which is not released yet. The patch Andreas sent is one of them. So should we have some way to make it easy to build Samba with an upstream release of MIT Kerberos for older distributions? Or also the KDB interface there can change from one major version to another, and it's easy to have multiple builds, but you need to build against the right version. So there will still be some things we'll have to manage there, but I think they are pretty, you know, manageable, just technical level things. And the way is open. And some of the things we're doing in Samba, we need to do that in FreeIPA as well, so we can join forces and do, you know, put pressure on the same code base. I think it's a wise thing to do.
Yeah, and he also said that probably FreeIPA and Samba has the same problems like with the ACLs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be sure that we can join forces to get it implemented properly and in a way that it is abstract, so that we can implement it in Samba and it can be also implemented in FreeIPA in the same way.
Yeah, do you guys have sort of like a feeling for how much time it's yet going to take? Until it gets merged, of course.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. It's really that we both are not working on this full-time, so this is really an important project for Red Hat, but it's not like whatever, we are sitting there every day. We're really busy with other things. And
normally, you have a lot of time if you are between RHEL releases. Yeah, but I guess we hope that we can finish it by the end of the year, but we are not sure. I mean, there is still a lot of work to do. At the moment, we are at the point where all the tests are running.
Which year. We are not saying which year.
Yeah, but we would like to finish it soon, and maybe if we are at a certain state and everything is working fine, then maybe more SAMR developers will look into it and help finishing the last bits.
But basically, the API decisions have been made. And
yeah, we need to.
Structures in place.
Yeah. We need to have some more agreement about this, and we need to work a little bit more with Andrew probably. But for us, really, the protocol testing we did at the Microsoft Interop event that really gave us much more trust in the maturity of all these migration attempts and of the code base as we have it right now in place. So we are really, we have a lot of trust in it. And yeah, it's just that we really need to find the place to flesh out the missing details, work on the missing features. So then hopefully have it done soon. Right, any more questions? Then I think we are done. So thank you very much.